Praise the Lord. I said, if you are there, praise the Lord. I welcome everyone today in Jesus' name. We're talking about faith. Talking about your faith. I can't hear my people. Today, you manifest faith in the Lord in Jesus' name. And then as you manifest that faith, New Testament faith, mountain moving faith, sickness healing faith, all things are possible in your life in Jesus' name. And with that kind of faith, you will attempt the impossible. Believe the incredible. And then you are going to have what looks invisible. It will become visible in your life in Jesus' name. Make sure that there is a definite thing you are asking the Lord today. And the Lord will do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for such a glorious day and such a wonderful time in your presence. Lord, we're asking today that your people will believe you for everything you have promised. And Lord, as they see you, the invisible one, and they believe you, your incredible promises, I pray, Lord, they receive the impossible in every life in Jesus' name. All those tears, you wipe them away. All the sorrow in the heart, you cancel everything. And what appears unreachable, what appears that is so far away we cannot get, the hand of faith and the prayer of faith will draw everything near today in Jesus' name. Do the impossible in every life. Spiritual, physical, domestic, professional. In every area of our lives, be magnified in Jesus' name. Do something unforgettable in every life. But thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And the believing people of God shout. God bless you. We're coming to Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11, we're reading from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 32, what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, and waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. In verse 39, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better scene for us, God having provided some better scene for me, God having provided some better scene for me, God having provided some better scenes for me, for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Somebody shout amen. It's a chapter that is devoted to faith. And we see the people, they are called the heroes of faith. Today we're talking about enlistment among the heroes of faith. The list is not finished. The list is not ended. That's why it says in verse 32, it says, what shall I must say? For the time will fail me. He's saying to start with, the list is not complete. The list is not exhausted, because there are people in the Old Testament that their names are not here, and it is nothing negative against them. It's just that we don't have enough space in this chapter to include the name of everybody. What shall I must say? I'll talk about Caleb. What shall I must say? I'll talk about Job. What shall I must say? I'll talk about Hezekiah. What shall I must say? Elijah will come up. What shall I must say? Elisha will come up. What shall I must say? I'll bring Phinehas before you. What shall I must say? I'll talk about Anna. What shall I must say? I'll talk about Ruth. What shall I must say? I'll talk about Obed-Edom. What shall I must say? I'll talk about Ezra. I'll talk about Nehemiah. I'll talk about Mordecai and Esther. What shall I must say? I'll talk about people who are living to today, your name will come among the heroes of faith. Heroes of faith. The heroes of faith, they counted nothing impossible. If you're going to be enlisted among the people who are the heroes of faith, there is one thing the Lord is requesting from you. Very simple, that you know that He is, and that you know He is a rewarder. Coming to that understanding makes you to understand that with you, all things are possible. With God, of course, all things are possible. And when you link up with God, you join in with God, all things are going to be possible in your life. Let's look at what Jesus said about God in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. I'm reading here from verse 26. It says in verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. Can you look at something in your life? And then you say, with men, intelligent men, with men, medical men, with men, wealthy men, with men, even powerful men, with men, religious men, with men, all the men you know, all the people you know, this appears impossible. But Jesus said, but with God. But with God, all things are possible. Somebody give me a good amen. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm reading from verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things in the which it was impossible for God to lie. That's the only impossible thing. Impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation, a strong assurance, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Impossible for God to lie. And since He cannot lie, all the promises that he has given us and all the promises that has given you will be fulfilled today. Because it's impossible for him to lie, and because with him all things are possible, that then brings us to the part that, how about me? How about you? We're human beings. Can I say, I point at this, I proclaim this, I desire this, and I have it? Well, look at what Jesus said, Mark chapter 9. And I'm reading from verse 23. Mark chapter 9. Reading from verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, tell me, all things are possible to who? To him that believeth. Looks like the Lord has been waiting for you. You said you are waiting for God. I'm waiting for God to do this, because with him, all things are possible. And God says, I'm waiting for you that you will understand that as you believe the Lord and believe the promises of God, if thou canst believe, if you will only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Ah, Pastor, whatever the prayers I prayed, I fasted, and there was no answer. Well, Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, I'm reading from verse 19. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? We prayed to, we demanded it to, we laid hands on that young man, and we commanded that evil spirit come out. Nothing happened. Maybe you are saying, I prayed, I went to those my friends and those in fellowship with me who can join me in prayer. We prayed, and yet there was no answer. Why? Verse 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily, assuredly, certainly, truly, I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say, you'll say something today. You'll not be standing before your mountain and crying. That one does no good. You'll not be standing before your problem, in front of your problem, and whining and crying. That is not going to solve the problem. You're not going to go about, and then you see your brother, you see your sister, and you see our leaders, and you're complaining about your mountain. Complaint doesn't solve the problem. You'll say something out today. With the assurance of faith and with the word of faith coming out of your mouth, Jesus said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. I see mountains moving today. Your own mountain, I see that moving today in Jesus' name. He said, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Somebody shout, and it shall remove. Say that again. And then it says, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now coming back now to Hebrews chapter 11. And today, as we look at this message, enlistment among the heroes of faith. The Lord wants to include your name among the people, among the believers that believe God without doubting, that believe that God is still today what he ever was, and what he did before is still able and he's still willing, he's still mighty, he's still powerful enough to do it. You're being enlisted among the heroes of faith. Three things we're looking at. Number one, practical action. Practical action, not just any action. A kind of proper action, a kind of appropriate action that matches your faith. You say, I believe God. If you believe God, let me see by your action. There is an appropriate action. There is a practical action. And then there is a prevailing attitude. A prevailing attitude. You come to God, and then you pray. There is action, practical action. There is action, appropriate action. And then you have attitude. Not a bad attitude, not a negative attitude, a positive mental attitude. In your thoughts, in your mind, in your disposition, in your look, as you look at everything, you have a prevailing attitude. Even that attitude alone, when you smile, when you say, I know God is, I know God is on the throne, I know this one, I have prayed and I'm manifesting practical action, my attitude will prevail. You are going to overcome. And so you have a prevailing attitude. And then number three is the preferred achievement. They named what they wanted, and they got what they claimed. They said, this is the preferred achievement. This is where I am going. I am going somewhere. I said, I am going somewhere. I am getting something. You will have it in Jesus' name. We'll come back again to Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith. Number one, there's a groundbreaking faith. You know, some of them, they had never been there. This is the first time we're confronting a problem like this. We've never had a problem like this. Look at us at the Red Sea. We've never passed through the Red Sea before. Look at them as they celebrated the Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It was the very first time. Look at them around the walls of Jericho. It was the very first time. And those people had a groundbreaking faith. You break that ground. You go through that territory. You know, when you're going to build a house, you have to do some ground breaking. And these people, they came to the Lord. Number one, there's a ground breaking faith. Number two, you're going to discover, as you go from Abel to Enoch and to Noah and to Abraham, you'll see growing faith. Their faith did not remain static in one place. It was growing and growing and growing. You see growing faith. Number three, you see great faith. It didn't remain like a grain of mustard seed. It was growing, and then became a great faith. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the practical action of groundbreaking faith. The practical action of groundbreaking faith. Number two, we're looking at the prevailing attitude of growing faith. As your faith is growing, your attitude changes and becomes the positive attitude. It becomes the prevailing attitude of growing faith. Number three, the preferred achievement through great faith. The preferred achievement through great faith. We come now to point number one. In point number one, practical action of ground breaking faith. Come to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God. Underline that word, offered. That's the action. That's the action. He did something. He offered unto God. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Underline that word, please. He walked with God. That was his action. He woke up in the morning after he became 65 years of age. He said, there's going to be an action now. I believe in God. And because I believe in God, I'm going to follow up that faith in God by my action. He walked with God. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared, underline the word prepared, he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. You see that? He did something. He built an ark. He prepared an ark. That is the action. And then you come to verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should utter receive for an inheritance, obeyed. You see that? That's the action. The action of obedience. And he went out. He went out. He went. He moved. He did something. There is practical action of a groundbreaking faith. And then it tells us in verse 17 it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He did something. It's action, action. You know, you say, I believe in God. And you're still talking like you talked before. I believe in God. And you're still lying down like what lying down before. I believe in God. And you're not moving. You're not doing anything. There must be action that supports your faith. And you say, this is the practical action, appropriate action that corresponds to my faith. And then it tells us in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It's like they handed over something to him. He put his hand at his back. I reject that. I refuse that. It's the action of the man that shows that this is the faith of the man and this is the trust that the man has in God. Actually, if there is no action, if there's no appropriate action, there is no faith. Faith makes you to act in the right direction. Look at James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. If it has no appropriate action, no corresponding action, no practical action, is dead. Look at verse 20. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? How do you say you have faith and you are passive? You say you have faith and you're still talking like you were talking before. You say you have faith and you're still crying. Yes, I prayed, I fasted, I believe God with all my heart. I have the greatest faith on earth, and then you're still crying. If you have faith, you'll stop crying. You'll stop crying. Amen. And you'll stop complaining. Amen. I didn't have a good amen for that one. Amen. And you stop murmuring in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith will rise up and say, my day has come, my time has come, I am an overcomer today, and you are, it is confirmed in heaven in Jesus' name. Faith must have appropriate action. Faith must have corresponding action. Look at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You are going to manifest faith. Yes. Galatians chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Can you see this? The confidence with which the apostle is talking. He said, I am not what I used to be. I'm identified now with Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ. In fact, he said, we're dead with him. We're buried with him. And we rise up with him. There's victory in my life today. There's victory in your life today. And there's going to be the victory of faith in everyone's life in Jesus' name. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You understand that? The Savior liveth in me. The Sanctifier liveth in me. The Healer liveth in me. The Deliverer liveth in me. It's not far away. What he did at Calvary is brought so close to me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. Something must change there today. Something must be turned around over there today. You see, when Christ comes into us, he comes with salvation. And that salvation has action. That salvation has evidence that you act now, that Christ is really there. You know, the people, they come to church and they keep on confessing, I don't know, Satan is following after me. The Bible does not say that you are the one saying that. I don't know, Satan is inside my head, is inside my tummy. Satan is on my shoulders. I don't know, they monitor me everywhere I go. Satan is always there. The Bible doesn't say there, but you say that. When you change your language and your language aligns with the Bible, something good will happen in your life. Change that negative language. Satan and Jesus cannot stay inside the same room. Hello? I said Satan and Christ will not stay inside the same heart. When light comes in, darkness goes out. When Christ comes in, Satan must come out. And today, Christ is going to appear in your heart in all his fullness in Jesus' name. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth. Where does he live? In me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 3. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. You see that? I remember without ceasing your action of faith. Practical action, corresponding action, appropriate action that shows you have faith in the Lord. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. You remember your work of faith. I said you remember your work of faith. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. Acts chapter 20, reading from verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. What did he show them? What did he teach them from house to house? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. And that's action. That's action. God says sin will bring judgment. You believe that. You act on that. You repent. God says the way of the transgressor is hard. Now I understand all these hard things happening in my life. The way of the transgressor is hard. And you believe that and you turn and you change. God says, though hands be joined with hands, the sinner shall not go unpunished. You hear that and you turn. That's faith. The repentance is the evidence that you believe the word you have heard. And now you are turning from sin, you're turning to the Savior. You're turning from darkness, you're turning to the light. You're turning from Satan, you're turning unto Christ. It says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith as action. Faith is not based on feeling. Faith is based on the word of the Almighty God. He said he was saved. He said, whosoever cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast off. And then I come and I repent. Then I believe and I go away with joy. He has fulfilled his word. The word of God says, by his stripes you are healed. I pray to God that I should be healed, and then I accept that, and I'm not lying down again. Pastor, I still feel bad. Keep on praying for me. And then some people even pray. They pray now. After they pray, and they want to leave the person, they say, I'll keep on praying for you. You know the meaning of that? I have prayed now. I know nothing will happen now, but I will keep on praying for you. And when somebody prays for you, after praying for you, it says, believe God, my brother, believe God, my sister, and I'm believing God you. I will keep on praying for you. You just negated the prayer you prayed now. You have prayed, God has answered. We're going to pray today and God will answer. And then there is the joy, that excitement is not your feeling. You might still feel cold and still feel fever. You say feverish, you say no, that feeling is not real. That one is camouflage. That one is the devil trying to make me lie down here. I jump up, I get up, I say, now I have prayed. Has God answered my prayer? Has God answered your prayer? I said, has God answered your prayer? When God has answered, then you do something you couldn't do before. And you do it with expectation. You do it with excitement because you know something has happened already. I know in my life something has happened already. I see there, something has happened already. Look at Romans chapter 16. I'm reading from verse 25. Romans chapter 16, reading from verse 25. It tells us in verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, look at this, made known to all nations. Tell me the last four words there. For the obedience of faith. That is, when you have faith, then you obey God. He said, I have healed you. If I believe that, I get up and I'm going back home, I am healed. Look at the person beside you and say, I am healed. Look at the person nearby there and say, I am healed. Faith without a corresponding action is dead. True faith, saving faith, turns us away from sin to the Savior. Faith makes us believe in Christ alone for our salvation, makes us come out of spiritual darkness, makes us walk with God in the light of his word. Faith makes us obey God and makes us refuse the offer of the God of this world. Sometimes the God of this world, the God of Egypt, may offer something to you, and you say, you know, if this has not happened, if that has not happened, and then they bring one concoction from the village, they say, this one with incantation, this one will help. You refuse that. That's faith, when you refuse, when you know that God, your God is able. My God is able. Somebody there today, I said, my God is able. And because God is able, that's why you refuse all the offer of the God of this world. You choose the fellowship of God's people. And even if persecution comes, you say, there's a limit to where this persecution can reach. Because I know it will not allow me to be tempted, to be tried more than I'm able. You will subdue all things. You will subdue all things. We'll be talking about Enoch, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, and the rest of them. Why? Why are we talking about them? Hebrews chapter 6, reading from verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's what we're studying then. That you will not be slothful, that you'll not be passive, that you will not be inactive, but you'll be followers of them who through faith inherited the promises. Point number two now, the prevailing attitude of growing faith. The prevailing attitude of growing faith. I want you to see the faith of the people here in Hebrews chapter 11 and understand it was not a static faith. It was not a faith with a ceiling. This level you can reach and no further, not at all. It was growing faith. I want you to look at one of them. Look at Sarah, for example. Come to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself receives strength to conceive. Sarah receives strength to conceive. And it says, through faith. I want you to come to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And I'm reading from verse 11. Genesis chapter 18, verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also, my Lord as Abraham? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I am old? You see that? At the beginning, it's what like, how will that happen? Look at my age. Look at the condition of my body. Look at the circumstances around me. Look at my environment. Look at even the thought of my heart. If you want to have a child, will you not even have a desire to have a child? The desire has now gone. And already Ishmael is born. And so what else are we looking for? You see that? But later, we're told, when God said in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. The faith came up. You see, there is growing faith. And that's Sarah. How about Abraham himself? Look at chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 17. When God gave the promise to Abraham, chapter 17, verse 17, it says, Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said, in his heart shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He said, that's enough. Ishmael is here. Let Ishmael live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. You see that it wasn't that, you know, they started with great faith at the beginning. It was a little faith, and then it grew and grew and grew. Come to Romans now, Romans chapter 4. You see where Abraham was. You see how Abraham laughed, and how Abraham said, I'm old already. Are you bringing this promise to me at my old age? But when God said, I will visit you, and by this time next year, you'll have that child, you'll name him Isaac. Now the faith grew. The faith grew. Your faith will grow. Yeah. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. A change has come. Don't you remember what you read in chapter 17 of Genesis? I'm old now, well stricken in years. And Sarah, my wife, the same thing, you know, how shall that be? But when God said, I will do it, and God is assuring you today, I will do it. Then, be not weak in faith. He considered not, is somebody now dead? When he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah swarmed. And as the faith grew, look at verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. Don't worry what your faith was yesterday. Today, you'll be strong in faith. What you thought was impossible yesterday, today it will be possible in Jesus' name. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And verse 21, tell me out aloud. That's a great faith, that's a great faith. Being fully persuaded that God will save, I'm fully persuaded today. That God will sanctify, I'm fully persuaded today. I can't hear your amen. And that God will baptize the sanctified in the Holy Ghost and power, I'm fully persuaded today. That no matter your sickness, and no matter the mountain, no matter the affliction, no matter the oppression, that God will deliver you today, I'm fully persuaded. It says, and be fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Able also to perform. Our God is able. I want you to come back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're looking at Moses now. And he tells us about Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 27. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Moses, come to Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. In Exodus chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 14. Exodus chapter 2, reading from verse 14. And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses, tell me. And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known, Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. And Moses, tell me out aloud. The man was afraid, and Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and he dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. That's at the beginning. You see, the many people, they don't understand. We read about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, and it says, he feared not the wrath of the king. And then he endured. But you see, he was afraid to start with, and therefore he ran away. Look at chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. This even 40 years after, when God called Moses, he said, Lord, I cannot go. I cannot do it. They will not believe me. They will not accept me. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He was still afraid to even go back to the children of Israel, but he did not remain at the same level. You will not remain at the same level. You are growing. I said you are growing. And your faith will grow like their faith grew in Jesus' name. Now come to chapter 11 of Hebrews again, in chapter 11, and reading from verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. As their faith grew, they forgot themselves. As your faith grows, you forget yourself. As their faith grew, they overlooked natural weaknesses. As your faith grows in the Lord, you overlook natural weaknesses. I'm weak, I can't do that. Your faith is growing. By the grace of God, now you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. As their faith grew, they thought less of human reasoning. Thought less of human reasoning. Whatever human beings reason, whatever they say, however they act, you think less of that. That does not count with you anymore. As their faith grew, they saw God bigger and greater than self, than society, than Satan, than all their problems. As your faith grows in the Lord, you see that God is bigger, God is greater than the problems you carry, and your problems are solved. As your faith grows, you count God faithful. That's what they did. They counted God faithful. As their faith grew, they expected the fulfillment of all God had said. And as your faith grows in the Lord, then you count God so faithful, you know he will fulfill everything he has said. And today is a day of fulfillment. Somebody there, I said, today is a day of fulfillment. How did they have the practical prevailing attitude while their faith was growing? It tells us, come to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. What made their faith to grow and what made them to have the positive attitude, the prevailing attitude, the proper attitude that makes God to say, I must answer their prayer? Look at this. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because, here is it, because she judged him, tell me, faithful who had promised. That's what gave them the prevailing attitude, the positive attitude, the proper attitude in the sight of the Lord. God is faithful. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. God is faithful. You remember his promise? God is faithful. You remember what he said he will do? God is faithful. You remember his pronouncement? God is faithful. As you have that in your mind, you have that in your heart, that God is faithful, you are going to have the right attitude. You are going to have the proper attitude. You have to have positive attitude, prevailing attitude. Look at this, chapter 10, verse 23, Hebrews. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Look at this, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Come to chapter 6, Hebrews. Chapter 6, and reading from verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Because they knew it was impossible for God to lie. That made them to have confidence in the Lord, trust in the Lord. He's trustworthy, he's dependable, he will answer prayer. And that gave them the proper attitude, the positive attitude, the prevailing attitude. We're coming to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 9. It says, God is faithful. You see that? God is faithful. You are going to discover that. If you have not discovered that before, our God is faithful. What he said he will do today, he will do. What he promised to fulfill, he will fulfill in Jesus' name. God is faithful. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He'll be faithful to you. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, reading from verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, reading from verse 13. It says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Look at this. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you, permit you, allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. Any challenge that comes, you say, I know God is faithful, this one I am going to overcome. Any overcomer in the house today? I said, any overcomer in the house today, you know he is faithful, therefore you're going to overcome, because he will not permit you, suffer you, allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. But he will, with the temptation, with the trial, he will also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it. God is able, and you are able. Amen. I say, God is able, and you are able. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading from verse 22. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He will do it. The promise of God we're holding on to, he will do it. He will do it in your life in Jesus' name. Because God is faithful. Look at this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Any amen there? Amen. God is faithful. God is faithful, and he will keep you from evil. We're coming to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He has given us the promise, and he has laid everything down for us. This is what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And he will not deny himself. Our God is faithful. We come to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, reading from verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Merciful and faithful high priest, merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. You see that? From salvation to sanctification, to Holy Ghost baptism, to healing, to deliverance, to provision, to answered prayer, to remembering his promise concerning you, it says he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's come back now to Hebrews chapter 11, the last line of verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The last line of verse 11, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God is faithful. The more we meditate on that sentence, God is faithful, the more we rely on that and we believe that without any shadow of doubt, anywhere we go, anyhow we turn, we remember God is faithful. The more we bring all that to our consideration in thinking of any problem, in thinking of any situation, you come into that problem, you come into that situation, before you pray, don't just pray like this and then you are stammering and then you are wondering and then you are hoping maybe something will happen. Before you pray, you remember God is able. Before you act, and before you plan, and before you live your life, and before you take any decision, you look at the promise of God, and then you remember God is able. And then you refuse other alternatives. People are going to provide this alternative and that alternative, and then you say, but no, since I know God is able, I know God is going to come, and is going to do this, I'm relying on him, it will not disappoint you. And as you pursue his will, you pursue that will in the acknowledgement of the very fact that God is able, and you maintain that prevailing attitude with your growing faith, your prayer will always be answered. It will answer you today. I said it will answer you today. Anybody have an assurance there? Anybody having confirmation there in your heart, knowing that God is faithful, he will do it today for you in Jesus' name. Point number three now, their preferred achievement. Their preferred achievement through great faith. Great faith. Let me explain to you to start with, what is great faith? Because you might wonder, great faith, do I have great faith? Can I have great faith? Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, we're looking at what the Lord Jesus called great faith. And I'm reading here from verse 5. It says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, pleading with him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, and grievously tormented. And Jesus says unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You don't come, you need to come to the house and touch my servant. You don't need to come with me and enter under my roof. You don't need to do anything physical. The word that was mighty and powerful enough to create the heavens and the earth and to bring out everything we see out of the invisible, that creative word still remains powerful today. Speak the word and my servant shall be healed. And then look at verse 9, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What's great faith? The faith that hangs your hope, your assurance, your confidence, mainly, only, always on God's word. That's great faith. You hang your hope, your assurance, and your confidence only, mainly, always, ever on God's word. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, that's great faith, and that word abides forever. And that word is still here today. It will roll your problems away. It will destroy the works of the devil in every area of your life in Jesus' name. Look at verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Are you believing something today? I said, are you believing for something today? Then you go thy way after the service, you'll be going with joy, going with happiness, going with assurance, because as thou hast believed, so it will be done unto you in Jesus' name. And his servant was healed in the same hour, that very day, that very hour, that very moment. There's somebody there, you are getting it this very moment. I said, you are getting it this very moment. The Lord will confirm it according to his faithfulness, his word, in Jesus' name. And look at this in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And I'm reading here from verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But she answered her not a word. That's where some people just, roll up and go back home. Answered her not a word. I need help. No answer. Come and help me with my daughter. She's grievously tormented. No answer. I knock and knock, no answer. Oh, some people say, maybe it's not the will of God. Everything God has promised is the will of God. Everything he promised to do is the will of God. All that desire he put inside your heart, and you have seen the promise of God, and said, Lord, do as thou hast said, is the promise of God. He will do it in Jesus' name. But there's no answer. And then he goes on, and the disciples, his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. That's what people are still having in their mind. Our leaders in our local church, I said I wanted to see so and so. They pushed me away.
and they still have that bitterness in their heart, they still have the anger in their heart, and they still have the remorse in their heart, and they still say, I don't know why, you see, now these are disciples, if the disciples will not even help me, and they will not bring me near to Jesus, they will not pray for me, I'm praying by myself, and now look at what they are telling Jesus, push her away, send her away. But this woman said, say what you want, I'm getting a miracle today. Do what you want, I'm getting a miracle today. You keep silent, I'm getting a miracle today. You push me off, I'm getting a miracle today, and you will have it. That's what Jesus called great faith, the one that will not give up, the one that says, I come to God, and as I come, I'm believing that Jesus, the Son of the living God and the Son of David, is going to help me today, is going to deliver me today. That's great faith. You will not be denied. Look at verse 26 now. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. It's like saying the promises are for the children of God and the children of Israel. And you are a gentle dog, and it's not right. All the Jews are not healed yet. All the people of God are not healed yet, and you are coming from outside. That's not right, to give the children's bread and give to dogs. 27, and she said, truth, Lord. You always tell the truth. That's the truth about me. I'm not worthy. That's the truth about me. I'm just an outsider coming from there. That's truth about me. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, somebody tell me out aloud. Now you understand great faith, you understand great faith, you understand great faith. Oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Even as thou wilt. You want something today, it's going to be done. I said, you want something today, it's going to be done. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. When is your hour? I say, when is your hour? Come back now to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading here from verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. The achievement, the accomplishment, what they received. And what they got, because they had great faith in the Lord. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Look up here for a moment. What happened to Enoch? Was not a promise given to humanity at that time. The promise that was given to Adam and Eve and to all the descendants, and Enoch was number 7, and he was still in that generation. In Genesis, look at Genesis chapter 3, dost thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And now we have chapter 4, and now we have chapter 5, and Enoch went beyond every possibility of his own time, and he experienced the rapture. The rapture is soon going to take place, and thank God, I am going to be part of that. I said, I'm going to be part of that, because you see, he had the fulfillment of the promise that he did not see death. All the messengers and the agents of death, they'll be thrown away from your life in Jesus' name. Look at verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. None of his children lost. None of the wives of the children lost. That's the achievement of faith that he had. He was saved, his wife was saved, and the 3 sons were saved, and then the 3 daughters-in-law, they were saved. When you believe God, that your whole house, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house. And you are saying, a hoof will not be left behind. So and so is not saved yet, he must be saved. By faith, he will be saved. that daughter that has gone away and not saved yet must be saved. They will be saved in Jesus' name. It's not only healing, it's not only your personal salvation, the total salvation of your family. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Underline the word inheritance. Inheritance. The Lord has promised us an inheritance. Inheritance from salvation to sanctification to Holy Ghost baptism to power to authority to anointing to healing to deliverance to provision to wealth. He has promised us heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. An inheritance. That's what we are believing God for. Every inheritance here on earth, inheritance there in heaven, that the Lord has promised you, you are going to receive in Jesus' name. I said you receive in Jesus' name. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Underneath the word reward there, he said, he will reward you. I said, he will reward you. He will reward the work of your hand. He will reward all your service. He will reward everything you are offering to God, and you will not be disappointed in Jesus' name. Let's come now to chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. Verses 39 and 40, it says, and these all, having obtained a good report, through faith received not the promise. Received not the promise. There's something referred to as the promise. As the promise. And it says, all those people, they received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. There's something those people did not get that you are going to get. You'll not be limited to their level. You will go beyond their level in Jesus' name. I'm coming to 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 3. It says, according as his divine power, he has given unto us, how many things? All things that pertain unto life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us, tell me, whereby are given unto us, tell me out aloud, exceeding great and precious promises. The promise. What they have not received, thank God, you are going to receive. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. You must pray for something definite today. Something definite must happen to you. Spiritual, physical, material, domestic, professional, any area of your life, you must take something back home today. Yeah. It will answer your prayer. Yeah. I said it will answer your prayer. Yeah. Because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, worketh in me, worketh in you, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Yeah. And the church said, yeah. Amen. until the end of the world, and watch without end. Our God is able. He'll prove it to you right there today. Our God is able. Where are you there? My God is able. Where are you there? My God is able. Where are you there? My God is able. Rise up and tell the Lord, unto him that is able. Our God is able. Able to save. Able to heal. Able to deliver. Able to set free. Able to break every yoke. Able to destroy the works of the devil. Our God is able. Able to deliver. Able to break all the chains. Able to remove the curse. Our God is able. Able to provide. Able to give you abundance. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask, above all that you think, according to the power that worketh in you. Tell the Lord, there must be faith. He that cometh to God must believe. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe that he is. When he created this world, he's the God of all power. I believe he is still the God of all power. The God of all might, I believe he is. And the God with whom nothing shall be impossible, I still believe today, with him nothing shall be impossible. He'll save the vilest of sinners. He'll sanctify anyone, everyone who has been saved. He'll pour down the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, endowment of power. He will heal the most terrible of sicknesses. He will, because our God is able. Present that prayer request before God. He is able. Let there be a groundbreaking faith. A groundbreaking faith. Even if it has to be an initial breaking faith, something you never experienced, something you never heard of, something that never happened before, groundbreaking faith. Even if you have not heard of any other person having that thing, but you see the promise in the Word of God, make it a groundbreaking faith and put action to your faith. Faith with appropriate action. Faith with practical action. Growing faith with prevailing attitude. The attitude of joy. I know God is able. Attitude of contentment, rest, peace in my heart. I know God is able. No fretting again. No worrying again. No crying anymore. No restlessness anymore. God is faithful. Whatever sounds you hear, whatever dazzling sights you see, you maintain that prevailing attitude. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He will not disappoint. He is faithful. He will not deny himself. He is faithful. He cannot fail. He is faithful. He will do it. He is faithful. Meditate on that. He is faithful. Believe that with all your heart, that he is faithful. Bring all your considerations and consciousness to the fact that God is faithful. Have your plan of action on the basis of the faithfulness of God. Live and labor on the basis of the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. Pursue with confidence. Pray with trust and confidence that God is faithful. Acknowledge that when you are talking to anybody. How do you feel now? God is faithful. What has happened? God is faithful. Did you get something there? God is faithful. Have you got the answer? God is faithful. Have you got your miracle? God is faithful. Respond to every question and respond to everyone. Respond to any doubt that may come in your mind with that statement, God is faithful. That's the prevailing attitude that follows the practical action. And showing up, there's going to be the achievement, the accomplishment, the affirmation. Preferred achievement, preferred affirmation, confirmation. God is still on the throne. He cannot fail. He will not fail. He answers everyone that calls in faith. As you trust and believe him. If you have asked for salvation, believe. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've asked him to restore you from backsliding, believe. Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You have asked him for sanctification, believe. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. You have asked him for healing, for deliverance. By his stripes, you are healed. He answers prayer. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Almighty says, I am God. I change not. Is God still on the throne? Is forever faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. God's precious people, God's believing people, God trusting people, I said in Jesus' name we pray. Answer from heaven. Solution from heaven. Groundbreaking faith like a bulldozer that will pull down every stronghold in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. God has answered my prayer. Say, God has answered my prayer. Say, God has answered my prayer. Say, God has answered my prayer. Don't negate that as you go out the door. Don't say any contrary thing as you go outside the door. Don't shed tears of unbelief as you go outside the door. Once again, somebody, God has answered my prayer. Raise up those victorious hands. The favor of God is upon your life. The goodness of God is upon your life. The blessings of heaven are pouring down upon your life. Father, in Jesus' name, We thank you for every single individual here. Every brother, every sister, every boy, every girl, every child, everyone. We praise you for everyone. Oh Lord, let there be a confirmation in Jesus' name. You are the God of the heavens and the earth. The God who created all things. And with you, nothing is too hard for you. With you, all things are possible. In the life of everyone here, in the life of everyone there, all things today, possible in Jesus' name. Take the guilt of sin away. Take the condemnation of sin away. Take the impotence, powerlessness, and the weakness of sinners. Take it away in Jesus' name. Forgiveness for every repentant soul. Freedom for every believing soul. Grant them the joy of salvation in Jesus' name. Sanctification. Holiness. Purity of heart. Confirm your word in all the believers in Jesus' name. Power. Not weakness. Power. Not shaking. Power. Not fear. Power. Not discouragement. Power. Endowment of power from on high upon everyone in Jesus' name. For you stand before Pharaoh, power. Before Nebuchadnezzar, power. Before the tyrants of the world, power. The power of the Holy Ghost upon you in Jesus' name. Behold now, he gives unto you power. Not weakness. He gives unto you power. Over all the power of your enemy. You will tread on serpents and scorpions. You will trample on serpents and scorpions. You will march on serpents and scorpions. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Nothing will cut short your life. Nothing will terminate your progress prematurely. Nothing will bring you down. And the power of the Lord will overcome in your life, through your life, over all enemies in Jesus' name. Provision for the poor. Jobs for the jobless. Success for those who have failed. Progress for those who have been backward. I pray, Lord, lift up everyone today in Jesus' name. You have a kind of stumbling block and there's something blocking your way in marriage, the door is open to you. Bone of your own bone, flesh of your own flesh, the Lord grant unto you in Jesus' name. For those who are looking up to the Lord for the fruit of the womb, miracle children, miracle boys, miracle girls, miracle twins, in Jesus' name. Any affliction of the enemy, anything walking about in the body there, I command, come out in Jesus' name. Any terminal disease, I command, be healed in Jesus' name. And every request you make to the Lord today, every request you open your mouth to make to the Lord today, God has done it. Above, beyond, exceedingly, abundantly, more than what you asked or seen, be upon your life. Blessing upon your life. Miracles upon your life. Deliverance upon your life. Joy unspeakable upon your life. As you go back home, go in victory. Go in power. And possess your possession. Brother, did you hear? Possess your possession. Sister, did you hear that? Possess your possession. Your sorrow has come to an end. days of crying have come to an end. Joy, 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 success, abundance, victory, deliverance, dominion, happiness for the rest of your life. Confirm it, O Lord, in everybody's life. Well, thank you, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. My prayers are answered. My prayers are answered. I will manifest action of faith. I maintain attitude of faith. I already have accomplishment of faith. You are blessed. Go home happily.